and welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 129. Today is August 16th, 2011, and we are your official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, and joining me this week, well, you could call him Mr. Interruption if you want, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
I prefer coitus interruptus. Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. CPM1376 on Xbox Live. CP Matthew pretty much everywhere else, except on Twitter, where it's an OC underscore CP Matthew. Hello.
And hello back. And thank you very much for just volunteering that gamertag information right up front. That was very nice of you.
I'm here for you, Greg. I'm here for you.
I appreciate that. And also here for us, Mr. Michael Chin.
What up, what up, what up? Yeah. You shouldn't have. My name is Mike Chin, and my gamertag is Chin Chinny, and that's about all I have for you today. How are you, Greg?
Great. Thanks for joining the show. We'll talk to you later,
Mike. No problem.
Hey, not joining us this week, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Dead to us.
Yes, dead to us, also known as I packed away my headset. Likewise, no Big Bad Daddy this week. We only bring him out for special occasions anyways.
Yep.
We kind of scratched our heads, and then we said, you know what? We need someone to come on this show that actually knows what they're talking about, sounds intelligent, and will make us look stupid. So I called up Steve Conger.
Howdy, fellas. I am Steve Conger. Like Greg said, I am JSSLIFELIKE on pretty much every gaming service imaginable. So did I perform that admirably, or was that fine?
Gotta wait to the end.
So, but anyway, yes. Hello, fellas. How are you?
Hello back. I think we're all doing pretty good.
Yeah, man. We're good.
Yeah, we're talking video games. Can't argue with that.
Welcome to the show, Steve. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Like, you know, you're a listener. You probably idolize us.
I have done my homework for this appearance today.
That is more than any of us have done.
I know. It scares me a little bit.
50 shows.
Steve, now I'm reading a note here. Steve wants to clarify last week's topic.
Well,
so
yeah.
I have a feeling we got last week's topic wrong somehow. So
no, you didn't. I submitted a little interjection to your topic last week.
Rant.
And, yeah, it was a little bit of a rant. Okay, and I kind of come off as being the only guy on that side of the coin. And for those of you who remember last week's show, it was the topic about mobile gaming and handheld gaming. And I think that is what I kind of wanted to do. I wanted to parse the two words, that mobile and handheld gaming, I think, are technically two different things now. So, I mean, I don't know. I really don't want to get into too much, but as I was listening to everyone's responses and everything last week, I think they're kind of two different things. I mean, mobile gaming is something to waste 10 or 15 minutes, and handheld gaming is a little bit larger of an experience on specialized hardware, I think.
So, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole with this, but I have to respond to it. I mean, I see where you're going with that, Steve, but I think that while, yes, technically they are two different things, I think the overall perception to the public is they are one. And that is the bigger driving force, is when people think about mobile gaming, I think nowadays they're thinking about their mobile phones, their iPads. They're not thinking about dedicated handheld devices.
And that's the problem that breaks my heart.
Does it really break your heart?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of sad. It's kind of sad. Playing taps for the old handheld gaming, you know?
Well, who knows? Maybe price reductions will help.
I'm hoping. Yeah. I'm hoping.
A little foreshadowing. We'll talk a little bit more about price reductions a little later on in the show. For now, I think we should dive into what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
Okay, so what we've been playing, Mr. Conger, why don't you take the lead on this one? What have you been playing?
All right. So a couple of weeks ago, Borderlands with all of the DLC was $15 for PlayStation Plus.
Sold.
I picked it up. Yeah, I got your message on there yesterday.
Yeah, so I sent Steve a message yesterday on PlayStation saying, old, and then the irony was I was playing a game that was released before Borderlands.
It was pretty funny. But Borderlands has been the source of my frustration as of late.
How can that game possibly be a source of frustration? It's brilliant.
Okay, well, and while I do agree with you there, the PlayStation 3 friends list is broken.
Oh, wait a minute. You're playing it on the PlayStation 3. It all makes sense.
Say PS Plus.
Therein lies the rub.
Okay, so let me just explain this. I have one guy on my friends list that shows up in-game, okay? He has not played the game, I don't think, in over 12 months. He is the only person that will show up. I have deleted the game, like uninstalled it, uninstalled all of the save data, deleted everything I could, got rid of everything, re-downloaded it, re-downloaded all of the DLC, and to no avail. So in order for me to play with a friend that I wanted to play, who actually went out and paid $39.99 for the retail Game of the Year copy, I literally have to go into a public match because it's the only way we can hook up and keep booting the last two slots because I don't want him in there. So I cannot play a private game. I show up on his friends list, but no one shows up on my friends list. So I am the problem.
Steve, you know, we were talking about this yesterday, right?
Yes.
And I actually took it upon myself to send an email to Sony support, and they replied back. And
Okay, go ahead.
No, and I said, you know, what was the issue with, you know, Borderlands? And it was a one-word sentence reply. Old.
Old. Move on.
Please inquire about games released within the last 6 months. Thank you very much.
You know what wouldn't do that? Borderlands 2, which is going to be new.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is it? I know it's powered by GameSpy technology, obviously, the matchmaking.
Obviously. We all knew that, I think.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah,
I knew that.
Is it really that difficult if you have a friends list bug like this that they've known about since October 20th of 2009 or whenever the damn game was released? Is it that hard to patch in simple password protection for a public game? I mean, Steve, isn't it just like a flick switch in the GameSpy technology code?
Is it that hard to create cross-game party chat?
Well, there's that, but still, I'm not talking about that.
I know, I'm just digging on you right now. You know what? I mean, it probably has more so to do with the fact that it is an old game, and they don't want to put the resources to fix it. I mean, you know, I hate to say old is the reason, but I think that actually probably is closer to the reality.
But I mean, they released three patches that supposedly fixed it, and I bet it probably fixed it for 99% of the people. But guess who's 1%? But anyway, Borderlands, kind of cool. I like it, but I think that this may be the thing that causes me probably not to go back to it.
Hey, Steve, I'm saying this seriously now, right? Old. No, that's good. Right.
Thanks, tell me, yeah.
Why don't you try it on the Xbox? Like, I'm not saying that as a joke. But
the buddy that I was playing with doesn't have an Xbox.
Well, fuck him, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I bet there's going to be a price drop soon.
Was it? Yeah. Who was you playing with? Because I think he's on my friends list as well. Who was
Easton
it?
Arrow, maybe? Was that him?
Yes. I think, he's on my friends list, yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of old, I played some Comic Zone because it's free on PlayStation Plus, and that is one of my favorite games of all time. I love Comic Zone.
Is that the one that was on the Genesis?
Yes, and it is set up like a comic book. And
you're fighting the rats and the things, and you're like this dude.
Yes, Axel, I think his name is, or something. I can't remember what it is, but anyway. Well,
Axel's the guy from Streets of Rage.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, you're probably right. So
if only we had a source, like a large internet source where we could find out.
Only.
damn it. Carry on, Steve. Sorry.
So anyway, Comic Zone is kind of awesome, and it has me like saying my favorite little phrase from back then, which was, see ya, you know, because that's all he used to say. But it was digitized, and it's awesome. Picked up a couple of trophies, revisited, a little bit of nostalgia, and kind of moved on.
His name is Sketch Turner.
Sketch Turner, yes.
Yeah.
Sketch Turner.
What up, Sketch? Yep. Nothing, man. Just chilling with my fucking comics. Brilliant.
I played a little bit of Rusty Hearts, the beta, on PC. It is like a Perfect World game. Like it's
Perfect World game.
It's one of the complete, like, perfect world collections that you can go to the store and buy, like, cards that you can recharge all your perfect world games and stuff like that. It's okay, but the biggest thing that I've been playing is the Path of Exile beta. I don't know if you guys have heard about this game. It is a Diablo clone that is in the style of Diablo 2, but brought into three dimensions. It's not quite Diablo 3, but it works off a lot of Diablo stuff, like the mechanics and things like that. So I'm addicted to this game. And I don't know if you guys had heard me speak over the last, 6 months or so, because I am just, my mouth is watering. I am salivating for a good dungeon crawler.
I knew you were looking for the good dungeon crawler. I didn't quite know you were salivating for it, but.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
please don't use that tone of voice.
But, I mean, it's great. They have, corresponding classes and stuff, like the Marauder is their barbarian, and then they have a ranger and a duelist, which is sort of the cross between the two. He's like an assassin. There's a witch that is the sorcerer class type of thing. There is a paladin who is, I think he's called a I can't remember now. I can't even remember.
Why can't they just use the normal names? You know, a paladin's
Well, because
a paladin.
Everybody kind of has to do their own thing, you know?
Do they really?
Kind of. I mean, I don't know. See, I think their big thing for this, it's going to be free to play. And I think the big thing here is, microtransaction, like character skins. If you really want to have a male character, then you can buy a skin. You know what I mean? So, but it's weird because the upgrade mechanic is kind of cool, like the sphere grid from Final Fantasy X, and it is just a passive grid. So everything that you're upgrading that's passive, like stats and everything. Now your active things are skills that are upgraded via like gems that you plug into your equipment and your socketed weapons and stuff. So what happens is the only way that you can get these skills is by socketing these gems.
Sounds rude.
It's
I just
great,
imagine a mechanic like wrenching it in there.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what it is, though. It's almost like the materia system from Final Fantasy VII, but all this stuff is kind of put together in this Diablo style, like isometric through like 2.5D, but it's 3D.
I'm looking at you. I'm looking at it on YouTube, and it looks like a Diablo, but more zoomed in.
Yes,
I mean? It's a little bit closer.
A little closer.
Yeah, yep. And I mean everything. They're still tweaking everything, and they're still taking a lot of a lot of suggestions and things. It is still beta, but they're saying that it's more like an alpha. But this is a pretty complete beta. I'm pretty impressed with it so far, and I just finished Act One, and it's feeling pretty good, man, on the PC. And it is definitely something. If you're interested in that kind of thing, and you have a mid range PC, you'll be able to run it, and it looks fantastic. So that's about it for me. Path of Exile. Keep a watch out for that game if you're a PC gamer. That's it.
Okay. Excellent. Well, Mike, why don't you go next? What have you been tackling these days?
Hello.
Something new, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, something new. Okay. All right, so something new, something fresh, something on the beat, like on the pulse, as the kids say, Infamous One. So I'm playing Infamous One because part it was free,
Old,
it is true, it's true. So I've been playing that because I wanted to play it for a long time, and also I got it for free, and also I really want to play Infamous Two because people are saying, hey, this is a really fun game. So, yeah, it's I'm not gonna talk about it too much. It's very good. I think highly of the game. The climbing mechanics. There are some certain side missions that are stupid, right? Where, for example, like escorting ones. No one likes escorting. Get the fuck out of here, right? Also, like there's ones where you have to follow people. Boring. And there's ones where you have to knock out security cameras on a building. Now, if you're in Infamous, when you travel from far distances, like when you ride the wires in Infamous and it's cool, right? It's like one of the best things about the game, right? You're going pretty fast. You're not like fine-tuned climbing, but those knocking out the cameras on the side of the buildings require kind of like you need to jump to this pipe or this ledge. You know what I mean? It's like you really have to be quite accurate with it. So, and it's not that great when you have to do things like that. And another thing, right, is the morality choices. Now, who here has played the game?
I've played briefly.
Okay.
I've platinumed actually both of those. So I've played them extensively.
Nerd. Chris, have you played? is Chris dead? Chris is dead for a while.
Chris might be dead, yes.
All right. Well, by dead, we mean away from the computer.
No.
No, he's not dead. He's been resurrected. Hallelujah.
What are you doing?
Welcome back to Earth, and have you played Infamous? Chris?
He's dead again.
No.
Right, okay.
Chris that can only say no.
He's just come back to life, Greg. He takes a while for him to respond. Right, so...
Hold on, wait a minute.
What?
Okay, never mind. You can hear me now.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
It seemed like it seemed like I was saying something and you were hearing me like 3 seconds later, which made me nervous.
No. That's fine. So, Steve, morality choices. Let's talk the morality choices.
My CPU is a neural net processor. I'm learning computer.
You can't talk and now you can't shut up. Right. please don't kill me. You're in the army. Right. So, morality choices, Steve.
Yes.
Let's talk about those because I think they're a bit silly sometimes. The story ones are fine, but I think they're silly.
It's either you're either Hitler or Gandhi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That doesn't really change too much.
What I find weird about the morality choices is, it's weird things that you could I could help this person, or I could shit in his face. Why would you think about doing that? There's one where, I could just get that other guy to kill him. It's like, no, that's the mind of a sick, twisted psychopath, right? And it's, you're driving a car, and he goes, well, I could park into this parking space or drive through the whole shopping mall. I don't know, right? And it's just weird how they, would this character want to do this? If you're making good decisions... They should eliminate the bad choices. The good choices should crop up more. And if you're being more bad, then you should be able to hey, you're an evil dude. You're probably interested in doing this. Not binary, you can do this or this.
I think one of the very first ones in Infamous is, you approach the angry mob in front of the guards that are, protecting the bridge. And it's like you can either attack the guards directly or shoot from within the crowd and then shoot back and kill everybody. And then you go kill them.
They're just really odd. Save all these people or cut off their bollocks and put them on a flagpole. Why would you want to do the other one? Just be not like – it's strange. If this person's being nice throughout the game, then the computer should learn. The AI should learn. So, okay, this person is playing this game and being nice. So,
I think you still have to kind of remember, too, that this was 2008. I mean, or was it 2007? Was it 9?
2009.
Okay, so, but here's the thing. I mean, it all comes back to, and I think Mass Effect suffers to the same extent, that it goes back to this problem that needs a solution in gaming to min-maxing your character. I mean, you have a scale, and it doesn't pay you to stay anywhere in the middle.
No.
It only pays off if you're completely evil or if you're completely good.
Well, and I think that's poor design. I think that is absolutely poor design. I mean, that is not understanding that you can have different ways of trying to encourage players to continue to make choices and handle leveling up differently. And what they're doing, they give you, in a sense, kind of achievements or trophies for being either completely evil or completely good. But there's never an achievement for being, neutral or, some incentive for making choices based on the situation.
Was you going to mention Fallout, Chris?
Why, yes, I was, Mike. I was. So you were talking about how all the games reward you for either being all the way evil or all the way good. But the only one I could think of that was an exception to that was Fallout 3. Not only did you get achievements along the way for having neutral karma, but there were some perks that you could take where if you could maintain neutral karma, you would have I think it was a speech bonus. You'd have a bonus to your persuasion if you maintain neutral karma. So that's the only one. And it's kind of a minor example, but that was the only one I could think of where they actually rewarded you for keeping the middle ground.
Well, I mean, I think it's a lot more complex than that. I mean, even – I don't know how much we're trying to liken video games to real life, but – I mean, I think New Vegas handled that in a fantastic manner because you actually had, faction approval or disapproval with multiple parties. And that to me was a lot more interesting than just good, neutral, evil.
Yeah. Yeah, so you had your overall karma, and then you had your opinion with the NCR and your opinion with the Legion. Yeah, that was much more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
At least the game kind of does do things if you're good or bad, because what I like about it is Infamous. We're back on Infamous. the powers that you get when you're good are more precision-based, and they're, like, you know, fine-tuning and stuff. And if you're bad, the powers that you get are more, like, sporadic, and they, like, you have cluster grenades, and, like, it doesn't matter if you harm, like, a massive radius around you as long as you kind of get the job done. And I quite like that. I think that's kind of cool. And the game is really cool. Like being a dude that can jump around, ride the electronic wires, and, like, shoot electric shit. There's a quarry in the background. I can't work in these conditions. It's a cool game. So I really enjoyed it. I can't wait for the second one.
Only the second one would come out. God.
On the subject of old, I seem to remember Dark Forces way back in the day as you learned your Jedi powers, you could use the good powers or the evil powers, and that kind of influenced the outcome of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how, because it's been a long time since I played it, but.
I mean, I think it just kind of augmented your Force Lightning, and, you know, you kind of went down that path. But, I think Infamous, Mike, I'm anxious to see once you get to the beginning of Infamous 2 to try to compare the two, because Greg and I had talked about this a lot, and I think the point of Infamous 1 was to get to, like, the three-quarter point, and you are literally just an electric superhero badass, and that was the point of the first one. You will tire of the missions and things, and you know that structure itself.
Yeah.
But to me, the best way for me to describe the original Infamous is it is almost like a caricature of Infamous 2.
It's like a test, you know, like a test.
Yes.
Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I get that.
He's infamous. Cool. He's better than famous.
He's infamous. I played Bastion. Remember when we
tried Bastion? That game. Yes.
That game. I like it. I think it's cool. I like the narrator. I think that's a nice touch. I get that there's not a lot of story, and part of the game is kind of playing it and experiencing it, if you like. But for me, there wasn't a hook throughout the game. There wasn't that thing in the game what made me motivated to play it. Aesthetically, it's nice, and I'm sure people would play it for the aesthetics or for kind of like the interesting characters that you come across, you know. But it just wasn't enough for me to kind of get my teeth into it. But the art's really nice, you know. Like the idea is really cool, and like, it's just a really well done game. But just not enough for me to buy it. So I enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah.
What are the arcades games? I'm sure I played something else. Not Connect Ninja. Bollocks.
Shadow Planet.
I think I talked about that last week.
Yeah.
I love that one. I think that's it.
Okay. Mm. Well, speaking of Infamous, Mr. Matthew.
Mr. DeLacy, I have a short list this week. I've been playing more Dirt 3, and I have finished the campaign on Operation Flashpoint Red River. I went back and managed. It was good. I liked it. I've enjoyed it.
Did you save the world?
I saved the country of – actually, I don't even know if I saved the country. I saved my squad.
Okay.
So I saved my squad.
All right.
It reminds me a lot of Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2, a little bit more fast-paced and a little bit more forgiving than Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2. But then again, I've been playing it on normal difficulty. Especially the fire team engagements. So you got the campaign, which is relatively short. It's 10 missions, although each one takes an hour. And then you have these 8 maps with special scenarios. One is just like a terrorist hunt. You got to find all the bad guys and kill them. The other one is you got to go rescue some downed helicopter pilots, escort a convoy, which sucks. No one likes escorting things, we know. And then the other one's like... The other one's a defend mission. I want to say it's like a horde mode, but really it isn't, because there's so many enemies. It's you know, there's no moving about. You got to find a good place and hunker down and just go for it. But they're good fun. The fire team engagements are really challenging, some of them. So I've been loving and enjoying that. I wish it was more than 4-player co-op. I understand why it's 4-player co-op, but I wish it was like 8.
Chris, Marsh and I need you to play that game.
You just gotta be online when I'm online, man.
That's the thing. You're our conduit because we can't. That game doesn't work for Marsh and I when we play it together. It always kicks one of us out. I have done mission 4 5 times. I've got to the very end. I got to the very last part where you help out Bravo, right? And you have to infiltrate that last village because they're struggling with it, and it crashed because I threw a grenade, it bounced off a wall, and it blew Marsh up. No, it blew me up, right? And he couldn't revive me because I was sliding down a hill, and then it kicked us all out of the game. I hear you, dog. I hear you. Like, we're all with you there, dog, but I need Chris for that game. I can't. It doesn't work like otherwise, and it's really pissing me off. And I love the game as well.
My dog likes the game as well. Yeah, I'm down. Whenever. So I went back and played all of the campaign missions. Really?
Yep.
Dog just wants to be part of the podcast.
I went back and played all the campaign missions to get gold medals on them.
Crazy, which is, boy.
It's actually not that hard. Once you get your rifleman up to level 20 and you unlock the thermal scope for the M16, it almost becomes too easy. Because you can see in the dark.
Nice. But like, I do like the game. I mean, we enjoy it, Chris. Remember when we was playing it? But
yeah, we had fun.
But the thing is, my friend Marsh, he works crazy hours, but he is off this weekend. So if you're around this weekend,
I will be around this weekend. In fact, I'll be hiding this weekend because the senior cadets here at West Point are receiving their rings, and there's a big to do, and West Point will be crowded, so I'll be staying far away from it.
Good. We'll get it on.
Go. All right, Chris, anything else?
Did I say Dirt 3? I did. I still hate Gymkhana on Dirt 3.
You are not alone, by the way.
I know I'm not alone, and that's a little foreshadowing. You know, it's funny, so I guess I should modify that statement. I don't hate the Gymkhana. I hate that I suck at it. I hate that there are achievements related to it that I can't get. We had a little Dirt 3 bash up last Saturday. With David the Alien and Mark Annex and Parsnip and some other people. And we actually started playing some of the silly game modes. And those are good fun. Like there's the infection game mode and the capture the flag game mode. And then you can actually just do a Gymkhana where everybody's just driving around doing tricks, trying to see who can score the most points. And it was actually kind of fun because we were all just driving around having no idea what we're doing. And that was good fun. So I guess what I'm saying is if the Gymkhana was in there and I got an achievement just for trying, that'd be great. But since there's some achievements involved with Gymkhana and I'm not good enough to get them, I hate it.
I hate it.
Who is this Gymkhana person?
Yeah, I know. I want to find this Gymkhana and smack him in the face with my drifting shoes.
All right, Gymkhana hate aside, anything else for you, my friend?
No, that's all I've been playing is those two games.
Okay.
I'm slowly clawing my way back to 80% completion on my achievements. I'm at 79.1%, so I'm over 80% on Flashpoint, so now I got to get Dirt 3 up to 80% and then see where we go from there.
Are you going to be able to do that, or are there too many Gymkhana achievements associated with it?
We'll see.
Okay, we will see.
I will persevere.
I will survive. Hey.
All right. I guess
the Count's Mercenary show. We're singing. I'm done.
Let's see. My end. Homefront. Still loving playing lots of Homefront. Hell Patrol. I finally added you, by the way. So we will definitely engage in some Homefront this weekend.
Good dude. Hell Patrol. By the way, I played a little Red River with him. Good dude.
Okay. Excellent. It's always nice to know when you add somebody and they actually turn out to be a good person. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm still regretting some of my Murphy's Law.
Yeah, that bastard. And then I played what I would say shaping up to be the best game of Summer Arcade. Yeah, that's right. Fruit Ninja Connect.
Jesus.
It is just fun. Just flat out fun. It's easy. It's simple. I mean, I get where some of the criticisms came in about the menu being, you know, they made some poor choices on how they have the menu navigation working. But overall, it's simple. It's quick fun. It's got the addictive leaderboard challenges, similar to a game like Trials HD, where you're seeing your friend's scores right above you. And so you're, you know, constantly trying to beat their scores. Mm-hmm. and it works exceptionally well. And I would say it's better than the smartphone iPhone Fruit Ninja.
So that was going to be my next question, is had you played it on an Android or iOS device? Because I have Fruit Ninja on my iPad, and I like it just to pass a few minutes every now and again. But I don't have a Kinect yet.
Yeah, so here's the thing. With an iPad or an iPhone, as you're playing it, you know, you're pretty much limited to one hand, because you're having to use one hand to hold the device and the other hand to do your swiping. Mm. And with Fruit Ninja Connect, you're free to use both your hands. And
does that change the scoring and stuff or no?
From what I understand, at least what I've been hearing, is that scoring, you definitely can score better on Kinect than
I would imagine
with the iPad. Yeah. And they've got, you know, just simple little things like, you know, the ability to do co-op play. So if there's somebody in the house, you can have somebody do co-op play right next to you. I mean, it just gets kind of crazy fun. But it feels like this game, more than any game I've played so far with Kinect, really was built from the ground up for Kinect.
I mean, I guess them not implementing the hover sort of menu option would kind of take away from the pick-up and play aspect of it. I mean,
you know, I thought that at first, and I know we talked about this yesterday, and I was saying, you know what, I get where people are griping about that, but the realities are, as I've been playing it more, and it really, it's laid out so simply, and I think in a lot of ways, you try, when you first start to play it, you're in a sense kind of trying to do more than needed to activate different game modes. I mean, it's simply you just take your hand and you swipe up from the down, you know, from the bottom up if you want. It makes it the easiest way to activate different menus.
Okay. Now, is it are there still all of the different background, like wallpapers that you can unlock and sword blades and things like that?
Yep. Been unlocking them as we speak. Or neat. I shouldn't say as we speak, but I did today about three different blades. And, I mean, you know, it's just visual effects. It doesn't have any real impact on the game, at least so far. But
he's playing Fruit Ninja while podcasting.
I mean, I would imagine
a video of that.
It's actually a pretty good application and maybe implementation of the game, even though I'm kind of jacked that it's part of Summer of Arcade. But anyway.
You know what? To be honest, I think it is a perfect game for arcade. I don't have any qualms about having paid 800 points for this game. I know people are like, oh my God, why would I pay, you know, $10 to play this game when I could buy it for a dollar? Well, you know what? It's fun and it's well implemented. It works well. It is something that I will continuously go back to and I can easily play.
So, well, there's different licensing fees and stuff like that. So, I mean, I completely get that. It's just that I don't understand why these companies are not getting the fact that we want Move and we want Kinect or whatever. We want the option to be there.
I don't understand.
The option. They don't get this.
Well, of course they don't get it. But, you know, what we're, I guess, rebelling against, or at least what you're rebelling against, is the fact that you're angry that they're not giving you the option, that they're saying, no, we want you to buy this to be part of the Summer Arcade.
When I realize that's their job to push this hardware, I get that. But I don't know. I still think that they should have had the, you know, buy three, get X amount of points back, buy all of them, get a free game or
something. And Steve, I'm not actually going to argue with you on that.
I know.
I think they should have done, if you buy four out of the five games, you get some kind of bonus. And then if you buy all five, they could still have given you Crimson Alliance. I think that would have been a perfectly good way to handle it.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, to be honest, I was actually a little more angry that I found out that they were going to include Fruit Ninja Connect in Gunstringer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's being included in the package there because, you know, I was, like, fine with buying it for Summer of Arcade to get my free copy of Crimson Alliance. But now, in some respects, I look at Gunstringer and I'm like, well, I'm not really getting the whole game because I already have part of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's been a relatively stellar Summer of Arcade, even though I'm boycotting it. So I'm kind of missing out a little bit. But anyway, I do believe that
what
Fruit
don't
Ninja
you boycott,
is,
Steve? You well, boycott I, everything.
I'm very opinionated.
How do you play games, Steve?
he plays games with a bottle of milk of magnesia next to him, so it calms his stomach down as he gets angry.
Infamous 3 comes out and he's like, I'm boycotting it because it's another sequel and I'm against sequels.
Yeah.
And I'm boycotting new IPs because they don't make another of them. I'm fucked. Boycott the whole of 2012.
That's right. I want a holodeck.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Fruit Ninja Connect, it is worth playing.
Yeah.
That's what I got to say. If you have Connect, you should be checking this out. And if you are going to be getting Connect, Christopher Matthew, yeah, pick it up. Give the trial a shot.
There was a Connect in my house 3 days ago. Connected to my Xbox.
Really?
Yes.
And you did not try Fruit Ninja?
Did I? Bollocks. I was like, eh. Because my brother brought it around because like my niece and nephew my niece likes Connectimals because she loves lions and tigers, so Connectimals is the perfect game for her.
Right.
And she was showing me it, and I was like, all right, okay. And I didn't want to play. I just wanted to move away from the Kinect. I was like, oh, God.
Move away from the Kinect?
Lol. I didn't connect with the Kinect.
Horrible.
Move away from the Kinect.
Yep, that's time for a break.
We will go to the YouTube.
Yeah. I think it's time we jump into this week's new releases.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Da-da-da-da.
Boing.
All right, so new releases this week. I got some bad news, guys. Again, nothing on the Wii.
Dry period.
Is this a dry period, or is this just a foreshadowing of what we should expect?
Out of the Wii.
Yes.
Yeah, out of the Wii's fucked. Nice one, Steve. You did well. You tried your best, but it's fucked.
Yeah. It's death. I'm still taking part in Operation Rainfall, so...
Well, speaking of a platform that has games, the PS3. This week, El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metrodon, comes out.
Say games, Greg. Those weren't words you just said.
Don't knock El Shaddai, baby. This game actually could be good.
All right.
Steve's excited for it.
It kind of fell off my list when I could push back. I wanted it at the time, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Steve was excited for it.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Well, maybe no more Heroes. Heroes Paradise will get you excited.
Yeah, I will eventually get around to that.
Next year.
Because Suda 51 is a perverse motherfucker.
Yeah.
But yes. No More Heroes is... it looks okay, but like the latest game that is pretty. Fuck me, he could get arrested for that. Like, weird.
Lollipop Chainsaw, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a big rant about it on the Veteran Gamer, so I look forward to it.
Nice.
Okay. Hey, PSN games. Breath of Fire 4 comes out.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was 1 through 3, actually, to be honest.
Boy.
Yeah. But Medal of Honor Frontline, that's also coming out sometime this week. No price point yet, but Medal of Honor. Somebody might be still playing that. They do have the Driver San Francisco multiplayer demo available this week. It's for free, so been hankering for some Driver. Go check it out. And on the Xbox 360, a few games coming out this week. El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metrodon, as we already mentioned.
And,
yeah, the game I think I'm looking forward to almost as much as I was looking forward to Fruit Ninja. Okay, actually, I'm looking forward to it much more. Toy Soldiers, Cold War.
And really?
Getting a lot of good reviews. This game, supposedly, a lot of people really, really digging it. So, can't wait to get my hands on it. Yeah. A game that I'm not looking forward to, though. Again, Driver, San Francisco, multiplayer, it's free, demo.
Dude,
check it out.
This,
no, shit.
This, no, it is. Very, no, Duke loves it, but I think it's mediocre. It will be fun, right? I played the demo. It will be fun, but not like a game of the year. And I think Duke loves it. He thinks it's like... It's going to be awesome. But
once in a while, Duke hangs his hat on like the stepchild game, and he
I think it's good though. I think Driver from San Francisco is good. Like
really, you really thought it's good?
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game.
Nothing like a coma to let you swap cars in and out.
Yeah,
real
I just
quick.
Love it. Hey, in the demo, you're telling. Shush! Hold on, Steve. Wait a minute. Let's get real. All the fantasy RPGs that you... Look, none of them are based in reality at all. You have, like, a fucking bow that shoots, like, feet or whatever. Don't give me fucking reality, right? Half the games you play are just on planet Mars, right? So, reality...
Mars is a good place to be.
Yeah.
Right. Red Faction's over, man. It's over. Right.
Okay,
anyway.
But Let's get back to Driver here. So
Driver, right.
I played the single player demo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And part of the task was, okay, now take your car and drive off a is it a ramp truck?
Yeah, ramp truck, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Suddenly, out of nowhere, there's like 50,000 of these ramp trucks driving around San Francisco.
It's a game.
Like,
whatever. Right, look.
I wish they'd have put that in L.A. Noire so that when I needed a tow truck, there'd have been 50,000 tow trucks. So I didn't have to drive around for an hour looking for a damn tow truck.
What I love about the game, right, is like, he's trying to talk to his partner and say, like, look, I've been going to any person's, like, body, it's really weird, man. And then his partner's like, oh, I don't believe you, no, you're weird. And then he kind of goes, oh. And then he just goes, alright, so what are we going to do now? He just accepts it, like, oh, wait a minute, you should be on the circus, you freak. Right, he just, I love it. I think the story is just so ridiculous that it's good, that it's just, like, past the point of bad.
It is past the point of bad, I suppose. But, yeah.
You know, it's just silly driving game. I don't think
silly is such a nice way of putting it.
You can shove your simulation in the
Hey, speaking of another demo that is out right now, Body Count. If you've been looking forward to that game, go check the demo out. I have to admit, I forgot. I did give that a quick little whirl.
It's on the Xbox 360.
Yes, on the Xbox Live Marketplace right now. Go get it. I have a feeling this game is going to go down in flames.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not holding out a lot of high promise for this. The control scheme is, I think, what actually kind of breaks it for me. So they have the mechanic of you pulling the left trigger to aim. But the way this works is that you pull it in halfway to aim and move. And you pull it in all the way, and you'll come to a dead stop, but you can then lean in cover or around things.
Ooh.
And the problem is, you really have to retrain yourself on the left trigger aiming, because the natural tendency is just to pull it all the way in like you do with every other shooter out there.
Wow.
And so you just stop in your tracks and just start kind of moving about, because as soon as you pull in the left trigger and you start moving the left thumbstick, you're leaning left and right and all over the place. So I wasn't overly impressed. But who knows?
Remember when leaning was a big thing? Remember when leaning was a big thing?
Yeah. Yeah. You can lean!
Yeah, you can lean!
Yeah. So that's it for new releases.
And Bastion on Steam! Yay, Bastion on PC!
Yay!
Yay!
Nukem's coming to the Mac!
Woo! Yeah, and From Dusk.
Age of Empires Online. Yeah, okay. We're done. Yeah. That's it. No more new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so news this week. Lots of tidbits coming out of GamesCon, so I figured we'd focus in on some of those things and just trudge through them as best we can. So first up, hey, new 360 dashboard video surfaces. Looks pretty legit, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We excited for a revamping of the dashboard? Are you tired of the old look?
I'll get tired of it keep changing. You know?
It is like every year, isn't it?
Yeah. Jeez. I have to admit, I'm not completely sold yet on this new look. It feels kind of disjointed the way the tiles and things are kind of arranged up. So I'm looking at it now.
It looks like the Windows 7 phone layout, right?
Yes. Well, I think that's what they're going for. They're going to tie – all their devices are going to have a similar look. So Windows 8, Windows Phone, you know – Xbox 360, it's all going to look and feel the same. So yeah. Who knows? But supposedly, the rumor also says that it's going to be coming in either late August or early September, which would kind of make sense. I think they want it to hit before the big holiday push happens. Steve, you might be excited about this. The 3DS might be getting a game.
I hope it gets more than one.
No, just one.
Yeah, just one. But it's kind of a big one. So Zone of Enders 3DS logo was tweeted out by Hideo Kojima.
Look at you.
No? Meh. Not excited?
Nah. Zone of the Enders is just, I don't know. I think Zone of the Enders is remembered more fondly than it actually was received originally. I don't know.
You heard it here first. All Zone of Ender fans are going to come complaining. Steve Conger. That's this lifelike. Gamesman.
Can we just go back to the dashboard a sec?
Sure we can, Mike. We can always go back.
Sorry, Steve, to stop you with your Zone of Enders love. But the party chat thing, right?
Right.
Apparently, according to this like video, this party chat will support Skype, so you can be in a party chat with people on Xbox and Skype.
Right.
So technically, you can record a podcast on Xbox.
Yeah, fantastic. Because we know there's one person on Matthew would be on Skype.
The quality would be awful, but you could do it.
You could do it.
And beacons as well. Does everybody know what beacons are?
Yeah, the beacons, that's the thing where it's like you can kind of announce that you're going to be playing a certain game before you even get on.
I think that's kind of cool. Like, it sounds gimmicky, but I think that's really cool. Because,
I think
like,
that's going to help out is for things like the Veteran Gamers Playdate.
Yeah, or even just like just playing with more people from like communities like Gaming for the Elderly and Veteran Gamers and things like that, right? Because, you know, like, sometimes I want to play Red River and Chris isn't on or something. I say, look, I want to play Red River, and somebody else on my friends list has probably got it. And say, I'll play Red River with him,
right?
And then just see that I want to play, and he can just jump in.
Or for like your situation, Chris could announce, I will be playing Red River at this time, and then you can figure out, you know, hey, do I want to jump on and play with them?
I think that's great. I think that's pretty cool.
Is this going to be the cloud saving too?
You could do this really crazy thing. And you could look at your friends list to see who's playing what.
That's just stupid, Chris. Come on.
No, but the thing is, like, sometimes though, you want to play a game, but you're just killing time, or you know, stuff like that. I don't know. I just think it's a cool idea. I think like making your friends aware of what game, like, because sometimes you're on Xbox and you're like, I want to play like this game tonight. I don't want to play with anybody else, and I play multiplayer or nothing. All right, but if you can announce, like, I'm up for playing some Call of Duty tonight, I'm just playing, but no one's on it. I'm just on my Xbox for a bit of chilling time. It's cool. I love it.
So, other piece of integration, I suppose we should have gone into this on detail, so I do apologize, but YouTube supposedly is going to be launching out with all of this. As you mentioned, Steve, I believe the cloud save features are also coming.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And then for the Kinect people out there, additional voice command support. And ironically, I found this to be a very important thing, because one realization I had today is I could not actually fire up and play Fruit Ninja Kinect via Kinect. I had to use my controller to start the game.
What the hell?
There's no way to get into your games list, your games library, via Kinect.
You mean you gotta use your hands?
You gotta use your controller. Not your hands, man. Your controller.
Damn.
But you have to admit, though, kind of a big oversight, you would think?
There's some good, useful things coming to it, but I think the way it looks will put people off. But the actual things that they're including are cool.
Well, hopefully it'll be a little more vibrant and colorful than what we saw in that video, because the video may look very drab as well on top of
it. I think it makes – it depends on the background you use.
Like that's, yeah, like, that could be.
That's like the default black background in it, so.
Yeah. All right. Let's move. Hey, here's something exciting coming out of GamesCon. And speaking of Kinect, Steel Battalion Heavy Armor – confirmed, uses the Xbox 360 controller and Kinect simultaneously. Oh, and did I mention it looks awesome?
Well, this is what we want, right?
Yes. I have a big chub for this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mechs. That's all I got to say. Hey, for all of our UK friends.
Yeah.
Trenched. Yeah, finally coming.
I'm looking forward to playing this.
But don't look for it as Trenched.
What?
They're changing the name.
Change the name?
Yep. Iron Brigade.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? If that's what it took to do this, then good for them for changing the name.
Yeah. Good on them.
Give the big middle finger to the dude that was trying to milk them for money.
Fuck that guy. Right. Yes. Good on Double Fine for letting us have it, because it's better than nothing.
So, yes, yeah. It is better than nothing.
Better than nothing.
I'm looking forward to playing with my friends in the UK.
So I'm just wondering, if I look on my friends list and I see Chenny is playing, is it going to say Chenny is playing Iron Brigade, or is it going to say Chenny is playing Trenched? And am I going to be able to invite Chenny to play? Is it, you know, have they sorted out the issues with that? I mean, I'm sure it's something trivial, but I don't know.
I think it's going to say Iron Brigade. I think that, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I hope. That, yeah, I too hope that they figure that out.
I don't think you'll see me playing Iron Brigade. You won't see me playing Trenched.
Right, but
there's always the possibility that they're completely two separate, non-integral games.
That would suck.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that even though they have different, you know, names exterior-wise when you're looking on the playlist, if you're in-game and you open up the, you know, invite friends to play, that anybody playing Iron Brigade would show up.
Double Fine are smart. Yeah, Double Fine are clever. Yeah. They're not dumb. Yeah. They know people want to play.
Yeah. All right.
I think
so. So Sony had a press conference today, and lots of stuff came out. Well, I shouldn't say lots of stuff. Some important things came out of it. First up, the PSP is getting a price drop. Yeah, 99 euros. It's a new price point.
Right.
But
I think that roughly equates to about $145 or so, U.S. dollars, something like that.
I don't know.
So it makes me wonder. I mean, the thing's already right now is $129, I think, isn't it? So that would probably say that they're going to drop it to $99. I mean,
yeah,
man.
But it comes at a cost. And this is one that just makes me scratch my head.
Yeah, you have to play it.
Well, that, like, and they took Wi-Fi out of it. It no longer has Wi-Fi.
Jesus.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
So how do you connect up to do anything?
You don't.
USB, I guess.
Oh, my God.
I mean, well, can you still plug it in through your PS3? I mean, can you use, like, some kind of tunneling program to do something? Or
I'm guessing you would plug into your PS3 to get to the network, but
PlayStation, right? I know you're listening. I really try to like you. I really do. Like, I try my hardest to like you. When I played Infamous, right, I had to wait for an update. I had to wait a good 15 minutes, and I was sitting there looking at an update for 15 minutes. I really try. Why take Wi-Fi when Wi-Fi is everywhere?
Yeah.
Come on, PlayStation.
I kind of like the design of it, though, the actual kit itself. I mean, it looks kind of sleek.
Yeah.
A little bit. But it's still a PSP, no matter which way you paint
it.
Yeah.
So.
And
turd to turd, Steve. You can put it in a pretty box, but it's still a turd.
It's still going to stink. Hey, speaking of stinking. Sorry, that wasn't very nice. PS3 Move. Yeah, some games got announced for it. So, joining in on the fitness craze, Move Fitness was announced. I know you guys are excited. I can hear it. Okay, so additional things that might have you guys interested.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Move support. More Move support. Sony promised lots more Move support. Uncharted 3, Resistance 3, and casual titles.
Oh, no. Uncharted 3 support.
Okay, just options.
Options.
We like options. In this day and age, there's no reason why we shouldn't have options.
No,
you know what?
It's too much
as long as it's options.
There's
too much choice, though. I go into Subway, and there's too much choice. Just give me a sandwich. Just give me a sub. I go into Starbucks, and I get flabbergasted with sclerotic chicken.
Mike, deep breath.
How many forks do you need to eat food? One.
Deep breath, choice. Mike. Deep breath.
Greg, gotta calm down. Ready?
Yep. In with the good air, out with the bad. In with the good, out with the bad.
Okay.
Harness the good energy. Yeah. Lock out the bed.
Don't need the choice.
There you go. And speaking of choice, Double Rainbow, Dance Star Party. Yeah, announced for the Move. Yeah, they're dancing.
They should call it late to the party, kind
of. Okay, so now we're going to get into possibly a game that at least one of us may care about. Infamous 2 Festival of Blood was announced.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's PSN download game, Mike.
Huh.
Yeah. So we're thinking DLC, but they didn't really characterize it as DLC. They said it was a full game. So
like an expansion pack? Or maybe like a standalone game.
We were thinking that it is more
Chris. A lot. Really?
Really, Chris?
What? What?
It sounds like you just had down a door.
I did. I was sitting here.
We thought that it would be more along the lines of like an undead nightmare.
Yeah, so an expansion pack. Expansion pack slash standalone arcade game. Also, the Dead Rising Case Zero, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Looks kind of neat. Yeah.
Cool. I'm up for that.
Cole has become a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Vampire killer or vampire?
I think he's an actual vampire. I think he had fangs in the trailer. I'm pretty sure.
Craziness.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Hey, Mike.
Is he a good vampire? Is he a bad vampire? Is he
sparkle or
the Viking?
I don't know. I hope he doesn't shimmer.
Because if he doesn't sparkle, then it's a no go for me.
Mm. I mean, I think he can either be a a Gandhi vampire or a Hitler vampire.
Mm. What if he's a Daywalker vampire?
Yeah, probably not.
No.
No.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Mike, good news for you, Mike.
What?
The 3D display is coming to you and Europe for €499.
Wow.
Right. Yeah.
What is the size of this 3D display again? Is it 27?
It's a whopping 26. 24 inches.
Is it 24?
24 inches, yeah.
Yeah, it's not very big. No, thank you. I won't be
It comes with two sets of glasses.
Great. Brilliant.
Active shutter still?
That's what I was going to ask, yeah.
I believe it is active shutter because that is what Sony is pushing. If it's not active shutter, it would be just the most hypocritical thing they could possibly do. So it has to be active shutter. I say has to and it probably isn't, but anyway. Hey,
does anybody get the feeling that, how 3D had a big push about a year or two ago? Like 3D was back. Anybody feeling that 3D's kind of declining again now, or is it still in full force?
I should be picking my setup by the end of the month, I think.
All the new movies are still coming out in 3D, so
it's still getting a pretty big push.
Yeah,
Conan debuts this Saturday in 3D. No thanks.
Yeah. Jason Momoa. Oh, never mind.
I will go see the new Conan movie because I think the casting of Jason Momoa is perfect.
It is perfect.
Kinda. Yeah.
No, kinda. It is.
I don't know. He had like three lines in Stargate Atlantis. They were pretty bad.
Well, he was also in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was speaking all in grunts and whistles in Game of Thrones, but
but again,
Conan doesn't have to talk a whole lot. Yeah, he's just got to be able to hack shit up.
Exactly, Chris. It's Conan.
Has anybody saw Super 8 while we're on films?
No.
Well, the ending. To. Right. And guess what, guys? There's an alien in it.
Oh, no.
What?
Is it a recommend? Film. Okay.
It's very good, yeah. It is very good. Like, J.J. Abrams, he's fast becoming, very notable. Like, he could be, a household name in about 10 years, I reckon. J.J. Abrams.
What did I see that was hilarious? Horrible Bosses.
Yes. Very funny
really
movie.
Good.
Yes.
Spicy hilarious. Looks really funny in that, and Farrell.
Everybody was funny.
Yes,
everybody was funny.
The only bad thing is Jennifer Aniston. I don't know if she can do funny anymore. I don't know.
Well, she
worked.
She was hilarious.
Oh, God, I would kill for a boss like her.
Maybe.
All right, let's move on.
Apparently Jennifer Aniston is very difficult to work with, so I've heard.
Well, she wasn't the easiest boss to work for in that move.
Yeah, Greg.
How you define work, I guess.
To work under?
Hey, guys, price drop. Yeah.
Video games. Price drop.
Yeah. Price drop. PS3. Price drop. It happened.
PS triple.
Yeah, this was the important thing. Right?
This was the only really big piece of news that came out of GamesCon. PS3 is now $249 in US and in Europe, effective immediately. So €249, Euros, €249 US. That's for the 160-gigabyte SKU, and the 320 is now $300.
Yeah. Well, at least I'll only have to spend $249 if my Chinese intercooler does not help my recently un-yellow-lighted PlayStation 3.
Well, you got to bring rice into it.
Just saying. $8 Chinese intercooler. Yeah.
So what – I guess it's only a $50 difference –
right.
What features does the 320 have over the 160 other than the additional memory? Any?
That's it, the additional.
I think that's it,
yeah.
Because isn't one of the big draws of the PS3 that you can put your own hard drive in there?
Yeah. But, they have to kind of the way they kind of separate the SKUs these days, like, is hard drive space. You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference between the different Xboxes and PlayStations.
Yeah.
It's a number, isn't it? It's a number on a box, and the bigger the number, people go, hey, it's like when they had 16-bit and 32-bit. It's like, well, I don't know quite what that number means, but more is better, right? All right.
I do know that.
All right.
2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar. I know that.
Shit.
The only other thing that came out of GamesCon today, EA had a press conference. I mean, they kind of went through a list of their games and showed off them. I mean, really, the two highlights for me were the Need for Speed game. They actually showed some in-game. Yeah, they showed some footage, and it actually kind of had me interested.
See? Look, yeah. Right.
I really admit,
are very similar games. They're ridiculous stories.
No. See, where Driver's graphics are shitty. Need for Speed looked fantastic.
They're not shitty.
Yeah,
what engine is the run? Like, isn't it the, like...
Frostbite
2.0. I thought it was an engine that's not used to, like, driving. Yeah, Frostbite.
Yeah, DICE is being pimped out for all EA first-party games now. Pretty much anything comes out from EA, it's on Frostbite now.
Hey, remember those Battlefield guys? They did something to do with this game. Buy it, please.
Pretty much.
That's what they're talking about.
Well, speaking of Battlefield, they did show off Battlefield 3 working on the PS3, and they did a co-op mission, and, it looks great. I don't think console owners have anything to worry about. You're going to get a good-looking game. The co-op was interesting because what they were showing, it was a mission to go and rescue a potential defector, and you had to bring him back to the green zone. And they were traveling through some kind of like security areas, and it was almost like stealth play. I mean, you had cameras that they were trying to avoid and take out so they weren't seen. And it had a decidedly different feel than, you know, any of the Battlefield Bad Company games that I've played, you know, in terms of the single player. So I'm sorry, what was that?
Why? I don't know.
Because?
Why? Why do they try to put a sneaky mission in there? That's my question.
Well, it quickly evolved into a firefight, but they had kind of that element leading up to it, as they were trying to avoid the cameras, and of course they didn't avoid a camera, and it went off, and the alarms went off, and all hell broke loose. But I got the feeling you might be able to go forward and take the cameras out or avoid the cameras, when you're playing it on your own, and take out guards stealth-like as opposed to just, tossing grenades.
Yeah, because nobody in a security office anywhere is going to get curious when all their cameras start going down. Like,
clearly they don't.
Simultaneously failed. That's odd. I guess I'll go back to my sandwich.
Like it's a sleeping mall cop or something like that. Yeah.
That's what everybody uses these days.
I mean, do we know at all now if Battlefield 3, if the console version is going to be any different than the PC version? Like, I know they're being, like, co-developed alongside each other, but is it actually going to be a sort of port, or is it going to be a little bit different?
Well, when you're asking, is it going to be any different, do you mean are they going to have 64 players versus 24 players?
Well, no, I mean, is it going to be same campaign, same co-op campaign, same everything? I mean,
yes, everything is supposed to be the same with the exception of going to be certain lighting and map sizes are going to be tweaked a little bit for the console.
That's what versions. I was going to say some of the map sizes are slightly more condensed in the console.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of effects and
layers.
Yeah. Particle systems and rendering effects at lower resolutions and things like that. I'm guessing. So, yeah. Good. That's what I like to hear. I mean, it's not my type of game, but I think that Battlefield 3, the tech being used there in the actual game itself, is going to push console and PC graphics forward, and hardware, for that matter.
And we can never argue or complain about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, on a whole, probably still more announcements being made at GamesCon as we speak, and, so far so good.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's pretty much the news this week.
Yay.
Yeah, so show break. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we will tackle the whole reason we brought Mr. Conger here.
to execute him.
Yay. Yeah. It's Suey. And I'm not wasted, but I'm gaming all night and all day. You dig? Gamer lifestyle, so games is what I'm playing. Game on that 6-4, so you know I say gaming. Game my phone live, then you know I start raping. Game wake up in the morning, turn on the PlayStation. Game playing, playing, playing till my game start breaking. Game I'm a damn nerd, so boy, stop hating. Game I'm still gaming. Game she's still gaming. Game we are still gaming, so games is what we play. Don't test me, yeah, you know I'm going pro. You say you play football, I play Halo. I'm gaming all night, and you know I'm about to play. I bought a new game, so I'm skipping class today. I don't have a life, so I'm not going to hell. I got a game over, damn, FML. Super Mario, then Mega Man 3. On that 6-4, run the OOT. Putting in cheats, so I'm trying to get by. That way, when I play, I will never ever die. I smash the D-pad. Joystick. And when it comes to game, well, you know I'm on it. Yeah, gamer yeah. Lifestyle, so games is what I'm playing. Game on that 6-4, so you know I stay gaming. Game my phone live, then you know I start raping. Game wake up in the morning, turn on the PlayStation. Game playing, playing, playing till my game start breaking. Game I'm a damn nerd, so boy, stop hating. Game I'm still gaming. Game she's still gaming. Game we all still gaming. So games is what we playing. Sonic, Mario, Kingdom Hearts, GTA, Bully, Call of Duty, Bioshock, there's more to play. Guitar Hero, Rock Band, Tetris, Spider-Man, Donkey Kong, Gears of War, Mortal Kombat, Madden, R.E., Metroid, SF, Halo, Pikmin, Fable, Bomberman, Battletoads, Bloodbird, Diablo, Battleship, Dark Cloud, Pac-Man, God of War, and now we playing WoW. I gotta say WoW, cause I'm playing WoW. I love all my games, so it's my lifestyle. You wanna run games, cause games is what I run. Hey, why you play games? I think they're hella fun. Hey, gamer lifestyle, so games is what I'm playing. Game, on that 6-4, so you know I stay gaming. Game, my phone live, then you know I start raping. Game, wake up in the morning, turn on the PlayStation. Game, playing, playing, playing till my game start breaking. Game, I'm a damn nerd, so boy, stop hating. Game, I'm still gaming. Game, she's still gaming. Game, we all still gaming. Yeah, it's Suey, and we gaming, not getting wasted. By the way, don't be trying to steal my songs either, cause you know it's Ooey!
All right, so community mailbag this week. Interesting little question. Is the industry oversaturated with games? Should the industry / console makers limit how many games a publisher can make for a system in a year? So let's discuss this. Steve, I know you were big with me in terms of getting this question out there.
Yeah, so we had a rabbit holian discussion a few weeks ago, as we do usually at least once a week. And I believe that there are too many retail releases. I think that a lot of these games are failing because they are cannibalizing each other. I mean, here's the thing. Just think about May of last year, okay? We saw in the whole month Lost Planet 2, Split Second, Alan Wake, Red Dead Redemption, Super Mario Galaxy 2, Blur, and Mod Nation Racers. How many of those games actually performed?
Well, I mean, I don't know personally how they performed, but I mean, only one that I know of actually performed.
Well, two. I mean, Super Mario Galaxy 2 did perform.
Oh, true.
Red Dead took the month. I mean, obviously. It killed almost every other game there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And that's a good amount of games to come out in 1 month period. I mean,
Red Dead expertly shot the head off Mario Brothers.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, Blur Split Second, Mod Nation Racers all cannibalized each other completely.
Okay, so maybe the best way to tackle this is, you know, in a sense, kind of taking it in stages. I mean, are we all, you know, and we can go around the quote-unquote table here. Do we think there are too many games coming out in a year? So, Chris, why don't we start with you?
Yes.
Okay. You firmly believe that? The too many games?
I think that there are the overall quality of games is down because people are just shelling out things as quickly as they can to try to cash in. Yes.
Okay. Steve, I think we're pretty safe to say you would say yes, there are too many games coming.
And I agree with Chris, just to kind of expand on what he said. I think there is a larger divide between AAA and the rest of the pack than there's ever been before.
Okay. And we can tackle that too. But Mike, what do you think? Too many games?
It's a tough one because it's not a simple answer, I don't think.
I would tend to agree with you here.
I think it's more to do with the time of year they are released. And I do agree with Steve in saying that there's a bigger divide. It's capitalism in games, right? So, it's the good games are doing fine, and they'll get better because they can get the money. But the bad games stay at the bottom because they can't get any money and they've got no one to play them. And they don't have room to improve because if you don't make a good first game, you're screwed.
You only get one shot now. Right. That's true.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And so it's like, but you know, it is a problem. But like, you do get a lot of good games and a lot of games coming out. So me and Milton Friedman are gonna hang out because we love capitalism, baby. I think. It's just a time. It's your genre. There's a lot of variables in this. I think it's the genre. Now let's talk about Split Second and Blur because they came out exactly the same time,
right?
And they're exactly the same type of game with the exact same market, and they killed each other.
Right? And both of those studios are dead now, aren't they?
Both of those studios are dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Both of those games were very good. I played both of them, and they was really strong games. Mm, right.
That's debatable.
Well, it's not, you know.
They were decent.
I like arcade races.
I hated Blur, though. I tried to play Blur. I hated it.
I do think Split Second was the better game, right? But I think there was a lot of good things in Blur, right? That really wasn't as I don't know. We don't want to get into a too deep a conversation about it. But they killed each other. That's the point, right? And it's a shame. It's a big shame because we'll never see Split Second 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a problem. That's a big problem. Also, Red Dead Redemption killed Alan Wake, right? And Alan Wake is just like a weird game in itself because of its journey, right? And I enjoyed Alan Wake a lot. I thought it was great. But like, you put it up against a Rockstar game, you're screwed, right? So it really is like a case of making sure that your game's ready and good, which takes money, and, you know, that's a problem. And also, making sure that you don't release it alongside another AAA game that could potentially mess your shit up. And, yeah, I do think the divide is getting bigger. Thank God for XBLA, because if we didn't have that this generation, I don't think we'd get a lot of those kind of smaller package games, because the retail games, it pretty much is like the big dogs. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, I think.
So, yeah, Mike, I tend to agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think there are too many games, because if you really look at the breakdown, the spacing of the games and the release of the games absolutely is problematic.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing it right now. We've had over two plus weeks of, you know, basically nothing being released retail-wise. And, you know, and yet we have other months where we have, you know, 3 and 4, you know, even 5 big $60 games all getting released the same week.
It's true.
It doesn't make sense. And I think, you know, in that regard, publishers, they are completely at fault for setting up release schedules that are going to kill a lot of their games. I also kind of think that, you know, there's a lot of different genres as well. So, I mean, you know, as we looked at that month, with Red Dead coming out, and you had Blur and Split Second. You know, Blur and Split Second are racing games. Honestly, if you're a fan of racing games, I don't think Red Dead Redemption is going to impact your decision on whether or not you're going to buy one of those games. Now, yeah, granted, those two kind of beat one another
there's
up.
There's different types of gamers, right? There's gamers like us lot, where right. we play everything, or we try to.
Right.
And that's a problem. Too many games, it does feel like there are too many games for people like us, because mm-hmm. we don't have the time to play them all.
Well, our attention span has shortened, too. I mean, the ADD is absolutely
just because
in.
It has to. Just because it has to. Like, yeah. I would love mm-hmm. to, like level up more in Call of Duty or, you know, like what other games are you playing? Like, play more multiplayer in Blur or something like that. But I can't. I just can't do it anymore. And I think that's a problem for us. I don't think there's too many games. Right. It's more to do like, with the release dates and, yeah. But, like, downloadable games, it's all going downloadable anyway. Right, so I think we're lucky to have.
Let's
that.
Not jump into that. Let's not go down that rabbit hole yet. That's a different question for a different day.
I don't want it to, but like at least like those smaller games are a blessing. You know, they're great.
Well, so looking at the kind of the current question, we're kind of divided here. Whether there's too many games or they're just not being spaced out correctly, I think what we can clearly see is there's a mismanagement of games going on. Whether it be publishers trying to just pump out too many games from one publishing house or them just stockpiling them into certain time periods and not evenly spacing them out.
And I don't understand what the stigma is on summer releases.
Well, I'm pretty sure if we looked at numbers and broke it down, you're going to see a sales trend of summer releases doing poorly, comparatively speaking, to non-summer release titles. And I think it has everything to do with kids being in school.
Yeah, but I don't know. Are kids the majority that are buying them anymore?
Well, and here's the interesting part of that, or at least from my end. I'm guessing that the realities of those sales trends aren't necessarily true. And I think probably what publishers are seeing our sales trends from the way the industry was.
Yeah.
Where it was predominantly kids, and it was predominantly kids that were the only ones that were going to be buying the games. But now, you know, things have shifted.
Yep.
You know, the average age of gamers has definitely gone up, and we buy games year-round. And I am guessing if they did, in fact, release a big title in July or August, it would still have fantastic numbers.
Yeah.
But I think they're afraid because of their analysis – to do that.
Somebody tell them.
Because all their marketing,
I mean, that's it. Well, see, now, one of the things that I wanted to kind of get to was the fact of, you know, he who does not know history is doomed to repeat it, correct? So, and just as a side note before we get into that, you know, in one day this past April, some of us came home with both Portal 2 and Mortal Kombat in one day. Okay? That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
So,
but the argument could be made here, and I'm just going to throw this out there. Those are two completely different games.
Different
genre. Yeah. So, but they're two huge games.
Understood. They're two huge games, but they really do appeal to vastly different audiences. And your average person isn't really going to probably like both those games.
Mm, I don't guess average person.
I want both like them. Great. It's more.
Well, I shouldn't have maybe said it that way.
I think it's a case of like you've got to separate people like us, and I'm not putting us like on some kind of high plateau or something. I'm just saying, people like us who play everything because we're nerds, right? And people who just kind of pick up games casually, like, hey, new Mortal Kombat game, cool. What's
right.
That Mortal game, never heard of it. I don't care, right? It's those types of games you got to think about. And you know, it's only been in the last recent couple of years that publishers have realized that games will sell in early in the year, like January and March and stuff, because everything used to be in the fall. But now, like, you know, Rockstar and BioWare have proved that you don't have to be in November to sell. So hopefully they will learn that, you know, in the summer.
All right, well, Chris, how about just a real quick question, see if you know the answer to this. What was the cause for the great video game crash in the early 80s?
It was the E.T., the extraterrestrial port game. Remember that game?
It wasn't that good, was it?
It was like there's like landfills full of E.T. cartridges. I think that was part of it, but really I think I mean, thinking back to then, what did we have? We had Atari, ColecoVision, Intellivision, Arcadia, Magnavox Odyssey. There was just a ton of different consoles out there. And so who's going to develop games for what and who's going to buy what?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was part of what fueled it.
Super saturation. I mean, there were so much subpar software out there. And I mean, now we've come to know that as pretty much shovelware, you know? And mm-hmm. and that's kind of what plagued that again. And I as much as I hate to say this, there is part of me that feels that we are headed for a crash again.
We could be. We could
you
be.
Know? And that's mm-hmm. that saddens me.
You know, I have to wonder though. So now we've pretty much come to where we have three consoles and three companies that compete in the console market. Maybe someone else will jump in there. Who knows?
Yeah.
But maybe Chinny mentioned the gap between AAA and everyone else. Maybe that gap, you know, there's like the 7 or 8 titles every year that everyone's going to buy. And maybe that's enough to keep it going. I don't know.
I hope so. I mean, I don't know. So, Chinny, what do Ultra Games, Palcom, and Tengen have in common?
I knew the first Chris's question.
any clue?
Something to do with games of fucked.
I mean, you may actually give me an answer that I can't really say no to, but they were all labels that were created with one specific intent. They were created to circumvent Nintendo's strict publishing rules on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Because if you remember, yeah.
Nintendo
had implemented...
Seal of Approval!
Yes. They had implemented the restriction for each third-party publisher to only be able to bring 5 games to market every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, in essence, Ultra Games was a Konami thing. Palcom was a Konami subsidiary, same thing. And Tengen was sort of a subsidiary of Atari. But, right. like, there's this whole big thing. I don't know if you guys remember the 10NES, the little chip that was inside the NES, that it was sort of like a lock and key system where one chip was on the console, one chip was inside the cartridge. So it was sort of a lock and key. So if they didn't talk to each other, the game could not be played on the console. So this is sort of what their DRM. And
Greg, isn't he clever? Greg.
Yes, he is.
but anyway, here's the thing. It was
And humble. He's not even like stopping on that. He's just like moving on.
It was Tengen that figured out a way to, I think they got the actual code from the patent office and actually programmed this rabbit chip to put inside their games, which circumvented that complete lockout, which started the whole deluge again. But it's awful funny to me that Nintendo pretty much by themselves made the gaming industry viable in 1980, well, starting in 1985, by limiting all this software. And now I think that we're coming back full circle because I believe that Nintendo was the one that started the whole thing again with the shovelware on the Wii.
See, I knew somewhere or another Steve was going to work Nintendo into this argument.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I mean, I know that's a lot to take in, but that's the stuff that's been going through my mind since we talked about this.
So Nintendo, root of all evil. That's what I'm getting out of this.
I think it's finally starting to come full circle.
I mean, it's an interesting idea, and Steve, I know you and I both talked about this, about a console maker limiting how many games. Mm-hmm. And maybe they said, you know what, you know, we will give EA a license to publish 3 AAA titles and 5 AA titles in a year and in a sense kind of force them to space them out. I mean, there's things that could be done to help regulate this a little bit better. And the question is, you know, are we going to, in a sense, kind of create the same kind of issue that we already saw before, where you have companies trying to circumvent by setting up subsidiaries and you know, smaller publisher, you know, shell yeah. companies to get around it?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what probably would happen. But, I mean, think about it. I mean, how many titles does Activision put out in a year? How many titles does EA put out through the EA Partners program and through their own cool. just in-house publishing and things like that? I mean, think about how many titles that is every year.
EA probably is the biggest publisher when it comes to sheer number of titles.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Activision, if you really look at what Activision does, I think it's going to be a smaller number than you would think. And EA, I think when you really look down to it, it's much bigger than you actually realize.
And they now own PopCap.
Yes, and it's just going to get worse.
going back to the video game Crash Steve, right?
Yes.
So the main reason why that it happened, right, wasn't because of chips and all your hard work. Well done, by the way. Right, it's because customers lost faith in the gaming industry. It was still very new, right? And they went, well, this game is shit, all right? Because at that point, people didn't know where video games were going. We still don't really know, but they've come a long way, right? But the thing is, people didn't really know what they were, and they didn't know if there was going to be a success. They didn't know it was going to be if it could be a fad, you know, maybe touch screens is going to be a fad and they'll go away. That's the thing, like, they didn't know what it was going to be. And then E.T. came out and games like that, and they was just poor, and they was just banging them out. And it crashed. No one bought the product anymore because they lost faith in it. They thought, well, this is shit because they're not putting their heart into it anymore. I don't think people think that about games anymore. People don't. If a shit game comes out, if Call of Duty, the next Call of Duty is so bad, like just ridiculously terrible, I don't think people are going to put their games down and pack their Xboxes away and go, well, fuck that. Like, video games is done. Like, video games now has a massive community. It there's no way that there'll be a crash like that again. I don't think there's going to be a dip. There's a problem with the oversaturation of games and AAA games, like, knocking the shit out of other games. But I think downloadable has solved that. I don't think there's going to be, like, nothing equivalent to a crash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I have to kind of go with Tina here. I don't see us going down into a crash situation. I do think there maybe needs to be a kind of a rethinking within the publishing ranks of maybe a better or clearer definition of what constitutes a AAA $60 title and what games should be deemed AA or lesser and be forced to be at a lower price point. Because they're really, you know, there is a clear divide on the quality of AAA, you know, true AAA games and non-AAA games, yet we rarely ever see a true disparity in price point. Most of the time, we're getting crap games coming out at $60 and great games coming out at $60.
Yeah.
And you get some great games coming out at $50.
No, and there are occasions where that happens as well.
I mean, the LEGO games, mostly successful, and all of those come out at $50.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, if you look at arcade titles, with the increase in memory size and stuff, they are now, I would say, you know, producing as good a game as some of these crappier $60 titles.
Yeah. Chris put something neat in the Skype window that I think is interesting. But before he says that, because we can sort of point counterpoint, but the both of you is the thing that makes me really believe that some sort of crash is coming is the fact of a brand new retail release 3 weeks out drops $10 in value over those 3 weeks and can be had for roughly around $30 US, not even a month from release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending upon the game, L.A. Noir dropped $20 in 3 weeks from 60 to 40 in a hurry.
Yeah, but see, again, you know, and L.A. Noir, I think maybe is a kind of an exception to
very situation. Little replay value in that one.
Yeah, and so, you know, was it truly a AAA title? Was it really worth $60? You know, I actually think no. I think that the game really should have probably been about $40 because it had no replay value.
No, it's subjective though. It's like, how much fun did you have with the game, right? Yeah. So, like, it doesn't like repower, like Limbo. I think Limbo's worth 1,200 Microsoft points, without a doubt, right? Because I loved it, right? Not a very long game, not a lot of replay value, because once you solve those puzzles, you know them, right? I think that game was totally worth its price. I loved L.A. Noire, so did Chris, right? Right. I'm quite happy that I paid full price for that game, right? I'm sure Chris is as well, right? Yep. And it's like we're so happy with it that you know we paid for more, right, which is ridiculous, but you know, it's value for money. It's like what you get, how much you enjoy it, and you can't measure that. You can measure time, how long you've played it, and how many times you play it. That's a number. Right. How much you enjoyed it, you can't put a number on it. So people can't see it. People can't get it. Like, I enjoyed it like 100 points, and you only enjoy it like 50. You know, like, you can't put a number on it.
No, that's true. So it is going to be subjective.
Yeah,
and God knows
it has to be.
Yeah, Chris, read that. Read what you put in there, and then I want to hear what everybody else had to say. I'm interested. I really am.
I was just curious about, you know, we're talking about oversaturating the market, so I just did a little looking around, and according to Wikipedia, there were 658 video games released in 2010 on all systems from all publishers. So almost two video games a day.
Now, out of curiosity, and maybe you can look this up while we're going into some of the community comments, do we know how many games occurred right before the big crash? You know, how many games have been released in a year?
I think it's kind of sketchy.
Okay. You know?
I think it would be less, though. It would be less.
Yeah. Probably less, yeah.
But, like, the thing is, people didn't – this is the thing. People didn't know that video movie tie-in games, all right,
right,
would be shit. Right, and I think even like the people who don't follow the gaming industry know this now. They know that a movie time game won't be that great. You're probably better off with a Call of Duty game, like a game.
But
people didn't know. They just thought, hey, E.T. is a film and a game. The game's probably just as brilliant as the film. No, it's not.
but almost, Mike, as much as I want to say
you
yes,
were I wasn't alive when this crash happened, so what?
No, but Mike, but what I'm getting at is, you know, as you sit there and you say, yeah, we all know nowadays that movie tie-in games are crap. Do we really? Because we see them continuously being put out. So if they really were crap, if they really weren't selling well, why did
they
keep...
didn't sell well?
Okay.
Kids are stupid. Right, and like, no, it's like, well, they don't know any better, right? When you're a kid, like, you kind of think things are better than they are, or whatever. And like, kids, you know, maybe they want to see a Spider-Man, like they see like Iron Man or whatever, and they want to play the game. And like, yeah. I think that's an audience that doesn't understand games, but people who do understand games, who aren't massive like let's play every game, know that movie time games are genuinely bad. And they'll learn. Those kids will learn. You know.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Well,
anyway, we talked about it.
Yeah,
we've
gone on long enough. Let's get
interesting
into
interesting debate.
Indeed.
It always is with Steve on board, isn't it?
You know, it is. Yeah. And not one zipper sound at all.
Zip.
Yeah. We miss you, Rich. We miss you. All right, tweets. We had a couple tweets to the show. These actually had nothing to do with the question of the week, but I wanted to get them in real fast. Johnny Farpants. Shot us out a nice little tweet, said thanks to you said actually the OC podcast and Veteran Gamers UK podcast for providing the soundtrack to my cardio. You kept me going. Such good shows. And then not to be outdone, Bed Hairdo responded and said at OC podcast, I agree with Mr. Fartpants. What you have been playing music is best ever. I want to buy it and a YouTube vid. It makes me smile. So, Mike, I guess you need to make a video.
Of what? What
you've been playing.
Oh, what you've been playing. Right, okay. Yeah. All right.
I could just upload the live rendition that you guys did.
Yeah, we did. I should send him that. I should send him the live. Have you still got it, Steve? You could do
I may very well. I'm not sure.
I don't really know how to explain.
Yeah, just overlap that in a video of you just, you know, doing a little jig dance.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Tara has to be in it, though.
She probably wouldn't want to be associated with it.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
You know, it's like you know her.
Yeah, I know her so well. Chris, yeah. We have some forum responses.
We did have some forum responses. So, Endgame 13 says, yes, it would be nice to limit him to maybe a max of two games per genre, RPG, sports, action, etc. per year. Maybe then some developers/producers would focus on quality rather than quantity. Just my thought. So there you have it. There's some sound reasoning there.
Yeah.
Can only put out so many products, so you got to make them good. No. Scott Spence, who's recently changed his gamertag to Yummy Bacon, because bacon is indeed yummy. says there's a lot of choice, and because of that, what could be great IPs may get overlooked. But having choice is what makes the West great, so I say no way. Keep on keeping on. So he sort of says, yeah, I agree that there might be too much, but go capitalism. Plus, limiting choice, like suggested in the question, would probably end up being some sort of antitrust violation. Seriously, in parentheses, not an antitrust lawyer. I just play a professor of antitrust on TV. Scott is a lawyer, so he probably knows what he's talking about.
Well, that's a good comment, because it would make me wonder, I mean, the way times are now, if maybe that would happen. I mean, somebody like EA or somebody like Activision would probably get their top lawyers on this if it was like a unilateral thing.
Top men.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting.
Is Greg gone?
No, I'm here. Sorry.
Yeah. Jamesy76, I would say yes, if there was somehow a time limit on when they were available. However, the few titles I pick up on release only account for about a quarter of the games I play through the year. The rest are games I wanted to play but had to wait for one reason or another. So if Left's games were available, I might not be able to find games of a decent quality to see me through the year. So apparently he's afraid that there would be not enough games to make it through 365 days. I don't know. Two games a day, maybe, you know, flip a coin.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you're not going to play all those games.
Sure you are. I challenge you, Chinny, to play all 659 of them.
Yeah, that would make a good documentary, wouldn't it? That would be cool.
The thing is, you couldn't finish 659 games in a year. Because, you know, you think of like a Fallout, that's 200 hours, you know.
Yeah.
It's like 8 days.
But you could try. You could try.
You could. Parsnip Knows 3000 says that Mike's going to read this.
Wow. He has a big insight into how we work. Okay, so Parsnip Knows, limiting releases would be awful. We need a competition-driven market to make sure developers give us their best. Not to mention, if it was throttled, we'd probably run out of games to play. There you go. Done. And then after that, Dauntless Ensemble. What did he say his name? Dauntless.
Scott.
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 Scotty. Change your name. There are too many for me to purchase all of them, but the number of quality games is just right. Any fewer and the quality of the product may be at risk because of lack of competition. Too many, and then they fall into the Duke trap where devs believe they can keep delaying the release until they are happy. Similar to the software in my industry, games offend their own cycle of when to release. Triple A titles are close to Christmas, double A titles are late spring. I would disagree with that. B grade and C grade can be sold whenever, since they're only a limited number of units will ship anyway. This year, more than ever, shows how important quality is. There is a great run of releases to choose from, starting from Deus Ex and ending next year with Mass Effect 3. Still trying to figure out how I will pay for all of it. That is another problem as well, money.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Yeah.
Scott does say that, like, double A titles releasing late spring. Red Dead Redemption. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, Red Dead Redemption, Mass Effect 3, I think, is slated for an April release.
Portal 2. Portal 2
Ghost
came
Recon
out.
Future Soldier is slated for an April release.
Yeah.
So maybe that cycle is...
A lot of shitty games come out in the fall, so they can... A Spider-Man always comes out in the fall.
Right.
Because they always think, oh, people might buy them because of Christmas and kids, you know. So you get shitty games, a lot of shitty games in the fall as well.
Well, he said something here about Duke, and I thought this was interesting because Duke Nukem is a little bit of a different case, I think, because when you bought Duke, you were not just buying Duke Nukem Forever. Gearbox themselves was making good on the promise of someone else. Okay, so you were pretty much paying for them to license that and buy that IP in order to make the Duke game that you want. But the thing is, there was so much marketing thrown behind it that ultimately, arguably, it succeeded. Now, something like Shadows of the Damned, where if there, I think Shadows of the Damned would totally have benefited with less of a marketing budget in a like a less dense sort of release schedule for a year. I mean, I think the overall picture, now it came out at a time where there wasn't a lot of software being released, but still, over the year, when there's less things for you to look forward to, less noise, less clutter, that could have been a bigger game. But
I think Shadow of the Damned, you know, it completely suffered from a lack of marketing support. It needed exactly. marketing support. Yeah. And that's another topic for a different day. You know, the whole EA Partners program, those kind of programs, the Activision partner programs, don't seem like they're necessarily supporting everybody on an equal footing.
Yeah, that's all right. It'll be a new label like Ultra Games.
Yes. There you go. All right, Mike, continue on. I'm sorry.
Was I done? I think I was done.
Next.
Oh, no, Raw Messiah, sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
Raw Messiah says, if you try to overregulate things, you can stifle innovation and quality. If Activision could only release a few games a year, they would milk the AAA franchises and never innovate.
They're doing that right now.
Yeah, they're doing that right now. It's frustrating when, but it would increase, especially EA. I think EA is a better example. Like EA do some risks sometimes. Yeah, it's frustrating when there are times in the year when too many games come out and to be able to properly play and that split the community playing together. So I get that. Yeah, he's saying like if a Battlefield and a Call of Duty came out at the same time, which hey, it is.
Right.
It's going to split the community. Like people are going to be divided. And I think he's right, but he used the wrong example. I think if EA was restricted to four games a year, like four AAA games a year, you know, they wouldn't innovate so much. You know, like the big games can pay for the risky games, the new IP. We wouldn't have a Dead Space if it wasn't for, you know, like EA cashing in on some of their franchises like FIFA and, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. That's a pretty fair comment.
Ta-da.
All right, we had one from our good buddy Mark Hannix. He says, short answer, for me personally, it's a yes. But that's not a bad thing, as many people have stated above. I just need some time, maybe a year, to catch up on my pile of shame. I think we're all in that category.
Bernard's Watch. So, there's a show called Bernard's Watch that used to be it's like a kid's show. Right, and this kid called Bernard used to have a watch and he could stop time and do whatever he wanted. But he always used to pay for things. You know, if you went in a shop and paid for stuff, I was like, what an idiot. They've got that, give that watch to an absolute idiot. We all need one of those, a Bernard's watch.
Now, Mark needs several years to catch up. I think he's got like 80 some odd games that he's not played.
Right. He has games still in wrappers.
Yeah.
And then another friend, Spitfire Ian, he says, no way. More choice, the better. More games, more competition, better innovation, and quality. One man's pleasure is another man's poison. Who would get to decide? That's a fair point, too.
Yeah,
that's the problem, isn't it? That's why you can't put like a cap on it and stuff. So.
To be honest, I can't believe Nintendo got away with that. But see, they were pretty much monopolizing the industry at that time.
Early on in the industry. People didn't know it.
All right, and last one, another friend of the show, Mr. Cud Morrow. He says, I started to write a long response, but I managed to bore myself halfway through. Basically, games be good, but prices need to be adjusted to encourage sales, especially of new IPs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think new IP is what suffers out of all of this.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Indeed.
All right, well, that's it for forum responses. We did get a couple emails, so I'll jump into those real fast. One from good friend and fellow podcaster over at the Veteran Gamers podcaster, Eric Piotrowski. Subject line, books are for nerds. Hey guys, just a quick one because I'm really hungry and I got to eat. We just finished the show, and at the risk of sounding egomaniacal, it's a good un. Remember that silly long sound Chinny made for the spoiler warning last week? Well, I had my way with it. Even stuck Rich in there too. I'm about a quarter of the way through the Eco book, and it's a big thumbs up. The author, well, I can't even say this properly.
Maoki
Miyabi, sure. Yeah. It's a little Russian-sounding Japanese last name. Does a really good job of recreating the mist-flavored ambience of the game. Yes, I included her name just so Chinny can do his silly over-the-top Japanese mumble voice. Which this time, yeah. Okay, there we go. Again, though, is it Russian or Japanese? Better.
Almost racist.
Not quite. Forza 3, it's lots of fun, but I'm glad I waited to get it cheap. And no, I will not play with anyone else because I get way too competitive when playing online and it ceases to be fun. I just kind of suck too bad for that. Sorry, I'll play the new driver game with other people when that comes out. How cool is that demo? Not so much, Duke. Okay, enough of this. Death to Silver Dollar Games, Duke out. And, yeah, thanks for that, Duke. Parsnip sent off a quick little email to us. And when I mean quick, I mean quick. I think this is in response to Mr. Matthew talking about Gymkhana. Yes, I hate Gymkhana in Dirt 3 as well. It's stupid and annoying, and I'm rubbish at it.
Damn you, Jim.
And email.
Well played. Well played.
Yeah. Indeed, well played. That's it. That's it for the community mailbag. Question for next week. So, you know, we've been kind of bantering back and forth amongst the hosts here and trying to come up with good questions. And then little birdie, namely Chris and other community members, said, you know, well, there's a lot of good topics going on in the old Gate Forum. So we took a look around, and this one kind of stuck out, been hotly debated. It's basically a, kind of a question about the death of disc-based games. Will it happen and how and or how soon? So it's in the forums right now, so go take a look. And
I could save some time. Yes, in 10 years. Done.
But maybe not. Maybe not.
No, I'm right.
Awesome.
I don't know. I think there's a good debate around that to be had as well. So
yes,
we will
10 years.
Tackle that for next week's show. In the meantime, Chris, why don't we talk some playdates?
I would talk some playdates, but there's not a whole lot going on. So if you're wanting to get something together, get on the forums and post it up. Saturday, the Play Vault will be playing Brink from 1 to 4 p.m.-ish UK time. And the Veteran Gamers will be playing Homefront. Yeah, that's right. Remember there was a game called Homefront?
Yep.
Sunday, 21st August 2011 at 6 p.m. GMT, provided that the streets are not on fire.
Yes, I am going to do my best to make that.
You're going to do your level best. Happy birthday to Chipper Cypher, Lethal Shots, DJC Boy, and
boy.
Aramaeus.
Aramaeus. Oh, Aramaeus.
And welcome to the new members. Oh, there aren't any. So if you're listening to the show and you've not joined the forums yet, do it. And if you're listening to the show and you have joined the forums, bring some friends.
Do it again.
Yeah, you have probably 7 email addresses. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Bring some friends.
Yeah.
Not spammers.
Yeah, please no spammers. And, you know, hey, feel free to leave an iTunes review.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. Do that too.
Sure. You can email the show.
Or a Zoom review.
Yeah.
Couldn't even get it out without laughing, could you? Yeah.
Mike, if they're going to email the show, because that really is what we want here. We want people to email us.
Email us on ocpodcast@gmail.com. ocpodcast@gmail.com and tell us your opinion on the death of disc-based games. Is it going to happen? When, people?
And maybe, just maybe, if you tweet us, you can tweet us at @OC_podcast and tell us exactly what you think about disc-based games.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe this week I'll actually send off the question of the week on Twitter so people will feel the need to respond. Yeah.
Try it.
Hey, it's a novel idea.
Yeah.
All right. We're really pretty much done here. So let's get some closing comments and get out of here. Steve, start it up.
Well, thank you all. Thank you, Mr. Primrose, for leaving me a spot to fill in. I always have a good time coming on the Overseas Connection. So thank you very much. I would like to shout out Mr. Hardly Dan, who is kind of helming our number show for me while I take a little break. Much needed summer rest.
R&R, baby.
Yeah, I needed it. And I want to shout out all of the people that are participating in my little video game music. It's digital trivia. It is called Pixel Tracks. So thank you to all of those who are participating. And the actual prize, in case you don't know, is $20 of your favorite gaming currency at the end of 3 months or six shows. And
you know, I want to interrupt real fast, Steve.
Yeah.
It is awesome. Pixel Tracks is awesome. I suck at it, though, and it kills me. I suck so bad at it that I can't even cheat. I try to cheat and look shit up, and I still don't find it.
You can't really type in the MIDI notes into the Google search.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Nothing.
The way that I try to do it, I try to make sure that, like, the first two or three episodes have keywords in the verbal clues that you can Google and do a little research to find. Now, they get a little more vague as the season goes on. So that I will caution you
there. Vague?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I still listen.
It is good, though. It is good. Yeah. I just never get it right. Sometimes, you must read the emails that I send sometimes, Steve. Yeah. And it's like, I think it's this game, but probably not. But, oh, wait, I just remembered it. It is this game. Like, that's my emails to that show.
Yeah.
Steve finally has stopped accepting my emails because I basically put down Zelda six times. I know it's got to be in there sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll get it eventually.
Sometime.
Yeah.
But other than that, my last shout out was for a friend of mine who turned 30 recently, and I have not seen him in years. But I remember us, you know, as young lads playing things like Manhunter and Leisure Suit Larry, and you know, Tetris on the 5 1/4-inch floppy drive. And his name is MS DOS. So happy 30th birthday, DOS. That is beautiful.
Happy birthday.
MS DOS. That's it for me. How about, let's see, Mike?
Right, I want to shout out Jesus. Also, not the Christ, he's a guy who works at the subway. Also, I'll shout out Valve and the protesters at Valve. Good on them. For trying, well done. Not going to happen. Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about. And also, I'm sure Greg's going to do this, but a shout out to Steve. Always nice to have Steve on. And
thank you.
Yeah, Chris, go.
All right, I'm going to shout out Steve because I think we all are. And I'm also going to shout out the United States Mint. Why am I shouting out the U.S. Mint? Because they will sell you a $2 bill for $10. And that is a hell of a deal. And I'm going to shout out my poor, poor students because the new semester began this week, and they're stuck with me until December. The poor people.
Poor people.
Poor people. And that brings it to Gregory.
Well, I guess I have to shout out Steve now, otherwise I'm going to sound like an asshole. So, Steve, thanks for coming on the show.
Don't go out of your way.
No, indeed. It's always fun having you on the show, Steve. Chris, I've got a $2 bill in mint condition. I will sell to you for $9.
Ooh.
With postage included.
Man. Yeah. They'll never be worth more than that.
I'll PayPal you right now.
I also want a big shout out to Superstarless and Hell Patrol. And I think I'm going to leave us with a quote. Pulled out a nice little quote here from socialite Paris Hilton.
Oh, boy. God.
Yeah. She says, in the future, I plan on taking more of an active role in the decisions I make.
Nice.
We're done. We're out of here.
Bye.
Toodles.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. Yes.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Yes, Mike.
You're not anymore. You were a second ago.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Mike.
Hi,
Mike's
Mike.
Mike's very Skype-y.
Hi, Steve. I'm only Brit on the show this week.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
Yes. Now everyone's fading in and out.
Game of the summer arcade, Fruit Ninja Connect.
Fruit Ninja! Like,
not you as well.
It's awesome.
Fucking hell. That's you last night going, I tell you, it's the best game of the fucking summer. I was like, sure.
I routinely try to beat all of my friends.
You know, Chris, again, too much
information. Probably why I don't have very many of them.
Well, no, actually, I would think you would have quite a few of them. Hey, everybody, welcome
to... Hey, welcome to this...
It's a weekly thing.
It's not even a weekly thing, but I knew this week it was going to happen. Mr. Christopher Robbins. Bastard. All right.
Encephalitis all right. Woods.
Shall we crack on?
Yes, we're going to crack on. Enough of
Rick,
the...
get up.
What the fuck are you doing?
Jeez, go on, Primrose.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Nice.
Rich isn't here today, so I gotta make all the random noises for him.
For Move and other titles like Uncharted 3, son of a bitch.
What?
Somebody dropped. Steve.
Never loved.
I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. Fuck.
Yes.
Now everyone's fading in and out.
Must be your connection.
Except for.
Yeah, it is clearly Chris's connection.
Yes.
Oh, those Macintoshes.
I'm telling you, man. Problem every time.
everybody sounds fine now. A second ago, it was going crazy.
Yeah. You were
you guys hear me?
You were just
a little
Skype-y.
Funky. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little funky.
This is not good.
Let me connect you back up. Hold on, Chris.
This call is being recorded.
Hello.
So much better.
That's better. Okay.
I'm hoping that... So I just set up the PX5s. I'm hoping that that's not interfering somehow since they're, you know, RF and everything.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me? God, Pamela is so sensitive.
This call is not being recorded.
Yeah, I know. All right, calling you guys all back in a second.
Yeah.
There he is.
Hey, everybody, give it up for the amazing rebooting Comcast cable modem. Jeez, a whiz.
All right, well, I know I'm going to have to do this already. And, of course, you're trying to send us a picture of your kid, so let me see the kid first. Hang on.
Yeah, it's going really slow, though. That's weird. Like, it's only 135K.
I got it.
Oh, okay. I was hoping it would actually show up in the little chat window.
That is awesome. Is he eating yogurt?
Look at him.
No, it's actually just a pile of whipped cream. Katie and I were having some strawberry shortcakes right as he was finishing his dinner, so I just squirted some whipped cream on his high chair table, and he went to town on it.
Yeah, whipped cream. Thanks, Daddy.
Nice. All right, let me hang up on everybody real fast and bring you all back in so Pam will freak out. That's the way it works, Steve. You did this to me.
Oh, my God.
You did this to me.